Town ruling committee meetings for October 7th, 2013 will come to order. Please silence or turn off our silence electronic devices. Mr. Rhodes, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Here.
Councilmember Bushbaugh?
Here.
Councilmember Reese George?
Here.
Councilmember Andre?
Here.
Councilmember Neeson?
Here.
Mayor Acosta?
Here.
Mayor Norman?
Here. The minutes for the September 7th meeting are in this package. If you have any changes or corrections, let me know. We'll have it on the agenda next time. Committee reports, first of all, Public Works, Tonton Canal. Earlier in the month, we had a meeting with Sinclair, parish president, his assistant, his chief drainage guy, Sinclair. Everybody was there. The former was there. Former and his guy were there. And we talked about where we've been, what we've done, and we came up, devised a plan based on what the former knows about where water's draining and all of that stuff. And we came up with a plan to widen certain ditches and all designed to get the water that falls in the field north of the Tonton Canal away from the canal and go back towards what's called the Laws Canal, which is a huge canal back there, and to go clean that out too. So there's a game plan in place. Notes were kept. An email was sent out, item by item, of what will be done back there. Somebody was telling me back there, it looks like they started digging already. I don't know. They weren't supposed to start till after cane season, but it's fine. They want to start now. This is the next step in the plan. The plan in this case is to get as much water away from the Tonton as possible. And we'll see how that works. And I think it's going to be a significant factor in when we have heavy rains. I think it's going to help a lot. Change culvert size. I think there's a 36-inch culvert. They're going to put two 36-inch culverts back there. It's going to be a significant improvement back there.
They're going to flood north?
Yeah, and flow north, there's one large ditch, and then there's like three or four others that go north and south across the field, and they're going to clean those out too.
So it's going to get basically to Emily?
Yep, well, it's not going to go to Emily. There's a canal to the south of canal, south of Emily, a very large canal. They call it the Laws Canal, and it's very, very wide, and it's about 10 feet deep, and they're going to clean that out. And that water goes to the west, to the parish canal. Yeah. So the plan is to get the water away from the Tonton Canal rather than towards it in heavy rains. So we had agreement, and everybody agreed, and that's what we're going to do. The parish is going to do the work. So, in fact, the only issue they had was they're going to do the extra dirt. Not for right now. And I took Mr. Carroll, Mr. Bob out and went and rode it down, looked at everything. It makes common sense. It makes drainage sense. So we'll see how it works. Any questions or comments on that? Capital Outlay, the big day is Thursday. Is it 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock Thursday in here. That's when the bids will be open. According to the architect, we've had at least five or six really good contractors pick up packages, and we've seen people, you know, around here looking around and all that I assume to get their prices in line. But we will find out what this station will cost us on Thursday.
2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
I think I saw one tree person out there looking at the trees.
Yep. And you can tell it's getting active because they're getting addendums where people are identifying things as they're doing the bid. They come up with questions, and so the questions are being forwarded to the architect, who forwards them to everybody else. And so it's getting close. Long time coming. Good. Any questions on that? Okay. A culvert program update. There are five people who have signed up for culverts. We put the first ones in today. There are six other people that have signed up to have culverts put in their rear ditches. Now, we only provide the labor for that because it's a service that we provide. They're not part of the official culvert program, and we're going to get to them shortly thereafter.
What have we done so far with Bruce Ross Street with those deep ditches?
That's done. The project's over, yeah.
The south side of Bruce Ross Street?
Yeah, all of those heavy slopes. Finished that months ago. Any questions or comments on that? Yeah, Lead Street Culvert Project got started. They ran short distance, and then we got a rain, and the culvert floated, and we put it back down. And I talked to Jason, I think it was Thursday. Yeah, Thursday at court. He said they were going back there, and it should be dry enough to continue to pick back up where they left off. So they might have started today, as far as I know. But they're going to be getting back to it. Hadn't made all that much progress, but getting started is the hard part of some of these projects. Any questions or comments on that?
They also done put it till spring on dredging the parish community.
They are.
Okay. They at the sewer plant from the coast.
That's good.
So they made some fairly good progress this year.
Yep. One bite at a time. Anything else public works from anybody? A lot of stuff going on. We have a lot of stuff breaking, lawnmowers and stuff. We just buy a lot of parts and all that. It's just one of those things that go in cycles, I guess. But, it's nothing too critical. Our sewer jetty is all ordered. They called us the other day and asked us what color we wanted it. Red. Red, of course. But that's everything's going good at that, so. Planning and zoning minutes for the meeting are in there in the package, and we have one item: is variance request from Ms. Genevieve A. O'Neill, 2398 Orleans Chorus. Get the drawing is in your package. Basically, the ditch behind her house has already been filled with culverts, and it's one of those variances where she wants to encroach on this drainage servitude. Town has no objection. We can get back there with ease for anything we got to do. Those ditches are very shallow back there.
It's very similar.
In fact, they almost don't even need a ditch back there. But anyway, this is not a big deal as far as we're concerned. But is anything else? The Planning Commission recommended it favorably. So any comments, discussion?
You agree?
No, O'Neill.
O'Neill.
Gidry got taped. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Anybody have any discussion or comments? Y'all understand what those lines are up there?
Yeah.
Okay. With regard to the Gidry plat, the Gidry plat came in and they had proposed a certain rearrangement of property, and there was a lot of things wrong with it. A lot of things wrong with it. But anyway, one of the things that showed up on there is there's a building back there. And when they looked at the sketch, there's an air conditioning unit behind the building, and it looks like this concrete goes right up to the building. And I never noticed a building back there, but I don't look around and stuff like that. So I told them before they go any further, somebody's going to have to tell me whether there's somebody living back there or not. Because you can't have two residences on the same lot. So they may have to subdivide it anyway, just because there's two residences back there, but it throws the whole thing into doubt. Cletus said he would come see me about it. Hadn't seen him yet, but until they submit something, until those questions are answered, they are going to have a they got some work to do.
You told him to look at 19.8 too.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
All those.
You see, this is a classic example. One of the things in our code says that any subdivider should come and talk to the building official before they start to make sure they know what they're doing. Nobody came, nobody said nothing. Up pops a plaque, all drawn by an engineer and all that stuff. It had all kinds of things wrong with it. It didn't comply with 19.8 for like three or four different reasons, even if there wasn't another residence back there. So, I can't make them. But anyway, enough of that. Anybody got any comments on that, questions? Okay. Top three derelict buildings, I added one this time, 653 East Main. Actually, this is a unique one because the people, it used to be a business, is that where that little...
Romper room.
Yeah, a little romper room was, and the people that owned the property actually wanted to turn it into a residence. So the first thing I did was I sent Kenny Hunts over there and said, look, can you even do that? Because conversion from a commercial to a residential is problematic with the fire department. He said he didn't see anything wrong. It probably was a residence at one time anyway. So she said, what do I need to do next? I said, well, the best thing you can do is have us come over there and do a derelict building inspection and then see if it's okay. Well, it's not okay, but the things that are wrong with it are not catastrophic. I mean, they're not. It's been, you know, mishandled for a while. So she's got a list and she's very gung-ho about it. She's not going to appeal anything. She wants to fix it all up and everything else. So can't beat that. So she's on the list. Now the other one is also the guy who owns the place. We went over there and did an inspection. There was several items. He's got like 3/4 of them done already. He said he's got to put a porch in, you know, a rotten porch or whatever. He said he's almost finished with everything. He's really gung-ho about a guy from Port Allen. So when he comes in and says it's done, then, you know, we'll go for it. So I'm probably going to move both of those down to in progress next time rather than on the, because they're not contesting it and they're very willing to fix it. And that's the best case scenario. I had one of them on that list call me during the month and wanted to know if they could have another week or two. I said, man, as long as you're working on it, I'm good with that. You know what I mean? Don't worry about time. If you're working on it, good for you, you know. So those are not really controversial yet.
They're also working on that one on East Main on the left that we had so much trouble with.
Yeah. I know that. They're working on them. As long as they're working on them, man, look, they don't have to worry about it. The town getting involved. We don't want to be in the residence building, tearing down business. There was a guy living there. But according to the owner at the time, he said the guy was living there had agreed that anything needed to be fixed, he'd fix it because he's kind of a handyman. Now, I don't know if they still have that arrangement or not, but the owner came by last week or maybe the week before and said, man, he's done most of it done. He's still working on it. And he wanted to know how much time he had. I said, time is on your side. You know? So anyway, so I think I really don't know for sure somebody's living there, but there was. All right. Finance Committee, review September bills and your package. Comments?
Just for information, that $100,000 just moved to American Gateway, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just an investment transfer.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments? None? All right. Glad Fish is here because he can explain Gatsby to us, but I just wanted to say that in new Gatsby standard. All that matters, correct me if I'm wrong, Fish, but all the thing that matters to us is that in the future, I'm not sure whether it's this next year or the year after, in the future, all of the indebtedness that's been racked up by the retirement systems, they're going to send us a letter and say, this is how much you need to put on your ledger sheet as far as a debt that you owe. Probably won't affect us that much with people who have need to borrow money. It's going to affect them. So it's just information. Did I say that right?
Yeah, not on your ledger sheets, on your financial statements.
Well, okay. I don't financial statements.
So you might look like you got $2 million in net assets now. When this thing comes out, you're going to be negative.
Yeah, it's going to drop big time.
You're going to be negative, probably. Because you're going to pick up your pro rata share of the police, which you know about. MERS. And depending on how fast the fire system gets swallowed up by the parish.
Yeah.
That's going to be a pretty good lick too.
But it's going to kind of be like every year when they come in for a sewer audit and they say, well, we have it done two different ways, one with the depreciation and one without.
Right.
the debt that we're going to show on our financial statement is not going to be the real money that we have to spend.
But like you said, it's going to affect your ability to borrow.
Yeah, but as I said, no, I said that it's going to affect the ability for people who really need to borrow money. So far, we've never had.
Yeah. They have a lot of bonds, they're always out trying to get bonds. They're going to pick up a tremendous size piece of liability on their statement. It's going to affect their borrowing ability. If we're solvent and we don't have money borrowed, other than the outstanding bonds already, we should be okay. But if we have to go to the trough for again another time, we're going to have a problem.
The guy at the conference also kind of hinted that the people that do this kind of stuff already know that's out there, and it may or may not have as big an impact as one would think. It won't have the impact that it will on the financial statement. It'll have the impact, not as much maybe, on their ability to borrow money. But time will tell. Who knows? I don't know. Everything changes.
It's a headache for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Not just to be us.
Yeah.
That happened to me at CRPC just before I retired. And it brings your bottom line way down. But we were a small staff, so it didn't really, you know. But you had to put that money, set it aside there for them. In case everybody left or you shut down and everybody's gone at one time, you got to have the money there to pay it out.
Oh, yeah. Okay, auction, we set a minimum value of what on that car? 500, 600, something like that? Yeah, 600. We got 1920, so. I know where we're going with the next car. I know we're going to do the next car. The only thing we messed up was we had those curtains, and what was the other thing?
Curtains
and a printer. And I told Debbie when they got back, I said, how come you didn't put them in the trunk? Now we still got them. We didn't get rid of them.
Next time.
All those things are dumpsters, whatever. We did good on that. Personnel committee, I'm not aware of anything. Recreation, set trick or treat hours. Despite my suggestion, the parish council set it from 5:30 to 7:30. I suggested noon to 1:00, but they didn't go along with it. And I would like to hereby go on record that I'm suggesting, as mayor of the town, and in the authority vested in me, noon to 1:00 on the 31st of October. Okay, so what's y'all's pleasure?
Stay with the parish.
Yes, stay with the parish.
Thank you for a wise decision by the council.
Yeah, overruling the mayor.
Although I prefer you.
My next recommendation will be Christmas. No, it's just a resolution. Can't be to a resolution.
So it's 5:30, 7:30?
Yeah.
What we're looking at?
We're going to put it on the agenda next time. I'll vote on it.
But that's what we're looking at?
Yeah. All right, police committee, I'm not aware of anything. Not a police board.
We're going to handle that casual walk they got on the 12th.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And we'll be out trick or treating there too.
You're going to be trick or treating.
Would you prefer noon to 1:00 or 5:30 to 7:30?
Yeah, but on Sunday.
On Sunday? Noon?
Noon, Sunday.
Yeah. All right. See, I mean, police department, we're in concert with you. Get on it. We have a close bond between the two, right?
That's something different.
All right. Governmental affairs, I'm not aware of anything. Anybody think governmental affairs? Other matters, discuss reimbursing mayor for legal fees for two unfounded ethics charges. On September 26th, right before the election, two of them were sent in, and they investigated them, and I testified and told them I did both of them, and told them it wasn't an ethics thing, and they said they weren't founded, so I'm cleared. Problem is, it cost $1,522.50 worth of legal fees, and the council does not have to. The council has the ability to reimburse if you're found not guilty, or whatever you call it. And I've sent a memo to the council asking them to consider it. And if you don't, that's the way it is. I'm not going to lobby for it or for or against it. But in my memo, I stated something that happened the last time I got one, was that if a person has it in for you, they perfectly and totally and completely protected by the Ethics Commission. You cannot find out who they are, so they can easily just keep filing them and filing them and filing them, and in effect cut your salary as you defend yourself. So everybody who's elected is susceptible to the same thing. And it happened to me. So
I have a question.
Go first before.
Yeah. Tom, on legal fees, I might have missed it in the book, but I was reading about it today. Legal fees and ethics charges, attorney fees, are they the same things? Like, for instance, if we get sued, if the mayor gets sued and there's a lawsuit, is that the same thing as an ethics charge? Are we legally okay to reimburse him that, even though it wasn't an actual lawsuit?
Yeah, it's not the same thing, but what the mayor said is correct. You are, you don't have to, but you are allowed to because it's an ethics charge, not against him personally, it's against him as an elected official. Okay.
Yeah, I read about the lawsuit piece, I just didn't know.
Turned out to be unfounded in terms of performance of his official duty.
And it should happen to any of us.
And if it make you feel any better, we can certainly get Tom to write up Attorney General's opinion request. I mean, whatever.
No, that's the only question I have when I'm
looking really
it up. Yeah, I just didn't know the ethical part of it. I mean, the ethics charge versus a lawsuit, and I didn't know if we were legal.
No, I mean, it is two different things.
Ethics violations are a crime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They are a crime. And if you get found guilty of a crime, you pay a fine or you're in jail, both. So,
I'm good with that.
I know that. I'm on a generator in time and I committed a crime. So, I have the paperwork here.
It's a different matter if it would have been a bound.
These are the two letters that we sent in. Do they look similar? Two letters sent in. One for something that happened 5 years ago, one is something that happened like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Same font, same heading, same everything. The Ethics Commission blots out who wrote it, you know.
What were the claims you did?
They claimed that I had my little red air bottle, my little, you know, little air bottles you have to pressurize so you can fill up a tire, that I had Wayne filled it up for me. And I told him, yep, he sure did. And the other one was Jamie Fontenot's catch basin was damaged, and we went and fixed it 5 years ago or 6 years ago or whatever. And I told him, I don't remember the incident, but I guarantee you if there's a catch basin in a ditch anywhere in Brule that gets damaged and it's blocking, it's in our drainage servitude, and we've already accepted it, we're going to go fix it. Today, tomorrow, yesterday, last year, and as long as I'm mayor, we're going to go fix it. So if that's an ethics violation, we got plenty of them. I'm going to make you a list of them.
I thought air was free.
You breathe
it every day.
Let me explain something to you. The way the ethics law is written is if I take this pen right here that is issued to me by the town, and I go home and I sit down and write a check like I did yesterday, I don't know if I use this pen or not, to make out a check, to make a contribution to the church, I'm using the ink in this pen, so technically it's a violation. But the Ethics Commission said in their letter that I didn't coerce anybody to do anything, and it's something readily available to any other citizen in town, so why would they get excited about it? You know, whatever.
But the thing with the catch basins, they couldn't put all our names in there.
Well,
we're the governing body.
Yeah. But you've got to consider where the catch basin is located, what street it's on, who it's across the street from, and what the time of the year they're written. So if you want to think about those kinds of things, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. I don't care. But whatever y'all decide, I'm not going to be angry about it, or I'm not going to be happy about it. So it's very unfortunate that a slime can go around and cost either the person that they're after or the town money. It's just the way it is. Anybody have any comments, questions? No concerns?
And the ethics administration will not reveal who's saying that.
Under no circumstances.
That's protected.
In fact,
you don't have a right to face your accuser.
That's exactly correct. And there's nothing you can do about it. Right. Believe me, I had Mr. Sexton, who was the chairman of the Ethics Commission. I said, I will do or say whatever I got to do to get that piece of garbage out in the light of day. He said, it's not going to happen. Watch my lips. He said, I don't give a shit who. What you do, there's nothing you can do to make that happen. I said, well, that's a hell of a deal. I said, I can't make him testify. You know, I mean, you know, in court, if a person brings a picture in you have to, what do you call that, foundation, or was the person who has to say, I took the picture, right? Found, you have to have foundation. You don't have to in ethics. Don't have to. Well, I don't want to get off.
No, basically it says if a public official is acting beyond the course and scope of his duties, not entitled to have public funds to pay legal fees for defense of civil or criminal action or against. But if he's found not to be acting beyond the course and scope of his duties, he is entitled.
It won't be reported in the paper.
All right, next. Discuss authorizing mayor to sign a contract with Rand Corp LLC. Rand Corp is a, we've been using Kim for our computer stuff, and this Rand Corp is really, isn't that really Renner? And we had, Kim was not comfortable with what we were doing when we were changing this server out. So we got Renner to come in, and they were very, very good. Jamie was, they fixed up, Jamie's had broken for years, and they were very good. So we asked them, you know, if they could, if they would provide us service on an hourly basis. And it's stuff that Kim is not comfortable with. And Kim is so busy right now, he's having a hard time keeping up with all this. So it's just a contract to have in place. I think we're obligated, what, 2 hours a month or something? 2 hours a month, and we'll use that without any sweat. And another thing, we don't have to use Zarina anymore for the police software thing. He can do all that, and he's already made suggestions on how we can change some things on our virus software and all, you know, he's done a lot of good so far. So I'm going to recommend Monday night that we do it. And Tom, you can read over it, so I'm sure it's a little boilerplate, not the contract. Yeah.
And he's accessible. They called him one day, and he was almost here.
Any comments or questions? Okay, I have mayor's report. As I alluded to earlier, I went to the LAPERS, L-A-P-E-R-S seminar, which is for all these retirement systems. And unlike most conventions and seminars, it was really good. I thought one speaker was horrible, but the rest of them, I learned a lot. Maybe it's because it's my first one, but it was really, really informative. I got a lot out of it, and I'm sort of getting into this. I'm on the board for the retirement system for the police. I'm sort of getting into it now, so it ought to get more interesting. I'm not saying this is not a, everybody hold your breath, but I'm going to say something good about Cox. Lady came by the other day, Melissa Blake. She's an attorney, and she brought these flyers here. Man, what Cox is pushing, and no strings attached according to her, is if your family, if you have a family, basically, if you're on the free lunch program at any of the schools, you can get internet hooked up at your house for $9.95 a month. It's a special program where they, you know, they have special rates. So if y'all know anybody who might be interested in that, we have a brochure here. But it's supposed to be advertised, and I'm sure it's on Cox.com or whatever it is.
Is that just free lunch or reduced?
Could be reduced to whatever the term is. I'm not sure. It's something like that. It's kids that don't come from poverty families. In case you haven't noticed, we repainted the lines on St. Francis Street on the other side of the railroad track. They had gotten kind of gone away, so we had somebody come and repaint them. We have 14 new building permits in phase two of Arlings West, and I don't know how many people we have living in phase one, but there probably must be a dozen houses or so. A good many now.
27.
Yeah. Okay. Thursday, I attended a trial in, or hearing, I guess you'd call it, in Port Allen. A pit bull attacked an individual on Abraham Street and tore his knee up bad. And at the end of the day, after a lot of pomp and circumstance, Judge Best ruled the dog was dangerous and he is to be euthanized. Of course, the owner of the dog says they're going to appeal it, but they're not going to win it, so that dog is going to be history. I attended the chamber monthly, and the two people spoke were the museum people and the tourist commission people, and I was very, even though I thought I knew a lot about the museum and the tourist commission, I learned a lot. It was, they have a lot of, they got a lot of good stuff going on those two places, and I don't think people realize it. They really got to act together. I substituted for Mr. Councilmember Andre at the Commodities Board meeting the other day, and a lot of people asking about you. And I told them you were just tied up.
You'll send a picture next time you go?
No, I'm going to go to the next one also, so I'll let you know on that one. And I attended the Senior Spirit Anniversary. I don't know if I talked about it last time, but it was nice function. It was at the Community Center, Port Allen. A lot of people showed up. Food was good. And that's all I have. Marks of personal privilege. Yes, sir.
Do you ever find out if I put that smoke in the sewage lines at one time?
We did that, and it didn't show anything. We didn't get anything. And we ended up TVing all the lines, and we found one place. In fact, we've been begging a contractor to come out and give us a price for months now, and he didn't. So today, a guy named Valentine from Baton Rouge, who was recommended to us by Grant Whitty, he came out, and we think he's going to actually do it for us. So but we haven't found. Oh, another thing, we went with hoses, fire hoses, and all that stuff, and we flooded the ditches over there at the corner of Margaret and St. Francis. We flooded the ditches in all different directions and didn't see any water come in the sewer system. And we thought sure we would, because we've seen water pick up in there during heavy rains, but we couldn't duplicate it. So we're just going to end up going around and having to do it one at a time and try to figure it out. It's the most puzzling thing. We've had everybody work on it.
Is CES still working on it, or are they pretty much?
No, they're not working on it. They're waiting. What we had told them was to go away until we fix this one thing that we've been waiting on, this contract. And then after we fix that, we may get them to come back in and see. But I'm just baffled. Everybody's baffled. People that came in are baffled. Everybody's baffled. But we'll keep trying. We're going to get lucky one day. It's going to be one of those deals where we just get lucky. We're going to find it one day.
That trash that's being dumped by the ball field, by Brewery,
yeah,
that sure looks bad on our town.
I totally agree with you. I contacted the president of the Homeowners Association in Brule Oaks, and he said he would call me back. In the meantime, I ran into Joe Mancuso at a function. And Joe Mancuso, I told him, I said, Joe, I'm gonna try to get the word out and see, you know, it kind of looks like people in there, because it's kind of stuff that looks like it. He said, my God, don't do that. For God's sake, don't do that. So what you talking about? He says, if they don't dump it there, what they do is they come dump it by the dumpster at the ball field, and they can't get rid of it. He said, at least the Allied Waste can pick it up. I said, well, that's a hell of a deal. We got somebody violating one place, so we're going to pick where they go violate, like a bait car, you know. So I haven't talked to the people in Arlington, Brule Oaks yet. I just said.
But it might not be all of them.
It's like when Attaboy had his place over there. It started out small, but then everybody in the parish figured just go dump it at Attaboy's.
You know? Yeah.
They
need to put Attaboy's sign
back there. I'm honest with you.
Put a no dumping sign.
Yes. Yeah, good. Put a sign up.
This is not
dumping. I'm just calling Joe and tell him he got vetoed.
I don't think it's all Brule Oaks.
No, it probably started out being them, but I think other people said, "What the hell?" Just like there's a, if you know where that right of way is on Aline Street, that cuts through where we put that drainage, that new drainage in. Right in front of Don Neesler's son-in-law, there's a big old manhole right there. Well, it's at the end of the right-of-way, and it's one of the few places where you can actually cross. There's not a ditch there.
Yeah.
So people just pile stuff on top of there, and we don't know who's doing it. You know, it's different. I say different. We don't think it's just the guy who lives there. He just, you know, he can't create that much stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And it looks like a mixture of things, so we suspect that's what's going on there. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I just
yes,
want to say.
You had the Municipal Association had on September 18th sent out two model franchises.
Yeah.
The model franchise fee ordinance we adopted back in 2009 pursuant to the cable television But the other one, the public, is the public interest or whatever, peg channels, whatever that is, public, is that government, public educational governmental access program. We have not, so.
So we need to do that?
We need to do that.
So we need to introduce it?
Well, yeah, we need to introduce it. I will, before Monday, come up with it. Or we can introduce it.
Just introduce.
I just need to figure out.
Write that down.
Before we do it in November, we'll have to have time. We just need to introduce it, but I have to figure out where's the best place to put it.
Yeah.
So, numerically.
Speaking of that, I know I've already.
But the other one we already adopted.
Let me say this before Bujwa does that thing. When Melissa Blake was here with Cox, when my wife was walking down Orleans West, one of the neighbors over there said, we love everything about it, except we can't get internet back here yet. So I asked her, I said, what's the deal with that? You know, I said, y'all, she said, well, it might, you know, it might be, but she said, do you realize that cable companies now do not have to provide internet because it's considered entertainment? It's not considered a necessity. Because Andrea had told me that, I told Wayne, I said, you know, next time we change the ordinance, we need to make it like in the utility section that you have to put internet in there because it's like, you know, they didn't used to have running water, but eventually got to run, everybody's got to run water. And she said, you can't do that. She said, you can try to do it, but by law, they don't have to provide internet because it's considered entertainment. I thought that was weird. But she said she's going to check and see if, you know, they probably work on it and Cox doesn't want to come out until they have most of the street to do or something, you know, for economic reasons. But I thought that was interesting.
Well, they got cable back there, right?
I don't know.
No,
you have to ask.
I think it's like 87% or 89% before they consider coming in.
Yeah. Okay, Ms. Bujwa, your turn.
I just want to say we're starting to work on our program for Veterans Day on November 11th. I don't know how our November meeting will fall, but.
Well, no, we changed court to the 12th. It's going to be on Monday.
Okay. Anyway, we'll still have our Veterans Day reception at noon.
No, that's it, right?
Okay.
The ceremony is in the middle of the day. We didn't have that time to place it.
So y'all write that on your calendar. We'll have a ceremony at noon.
All right. Anybody else? All right, announcements. West Side Cancer Awareness Walk is Saturday at 8 a.m. at Alexander Park. Fire District meeting will be October 14th at 6 p.m. in here. Landmark and Heritage meeting on the 21st of October at 6:30
here.
In Centennial Room.
No, here.
Here. Mayor's Court date changed from November 11th to the 12th at 3:30. Anybody else? Motion to adjourn?
We got that on all the
people. Yeah, we've had. Motion adjourned.
Move.
Move, Mr. Nation.
A second.
Second, Mr. Rose. All in favor say aye. All opposed, nay.
Aye.
What happened is they do that thing in 40.